I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, welcome. It's a brand new episode of Glamour. Hey, It's Okay, the podcast where we bring you to the Glamour Features meeting. And we're going extremely topical this week. Lots of very, very important Strictly news coming up. Welcome to Hey, It's Okay, Glamour's weekly podcast. It's Tuesday, so it must be podcast day. How exciting. I'm going to introduce, woo-hoo, first of all. Yeah, that's him. James Williams, our associate editor, is here. He
Hello.
Likes to chat.
I do indeed. And I'm very excited about today's running theme, which will be explained better.
James is a bit of a strictly obsessive,
mm-hmm,
nerd.
Guilty.
Big old sort of like raving.
Super fan. Loser.
Nana always in front of that television. So we have got the superstar. Not only is she a massive Strictly star at the moment, absolutely caned it opening the show the other day. It's our weekly blogger, the fabulous Laura Whitmore. Hello.
Yay. Woo. What an intro. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me here in this studio. It's
I mean, the sparkles and the sort
exactly
of sequins
like,
of Strictly.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Elm Street and the George Lucas stage where we film it.
I've got to be honest, I've been to Elm Street. This is much more glamorous
than Elm
Street.
I was going to say, that's really saying something. Like when you've hit the Elm Street level of glamour, you know you've made it.
You have, you really have.
I had a curry at Elm Street Studios about 5 years ago that's still sitting there a bit. I've got to be honest.
I know. And then if you ever want to leave the studios to get something nice to eat down the road, I mean, there is no options.
It's like you walk out of Elm Street and it's like 28 days later, there's like nothing else around, so that you're stuck there, and that's how they keep you there.
But you occasionally see Phil Mitchell, so there's always the joy in spotting an EastEnders star.
Or just some bald bloke walking down the street.
I got no Phil Mitchell action.
Did you not?
In my head, Babs Windsor's always at Elm Street, even though they've killed her off now. I think she's still there.
She has her own little kind of room there that she hangs in.
Has Phil Mitchell done Strictly?
No.
Nobody should.
This is gold.
Jake
come
did,
on.
Though. Do you
remember
when
they
Jake
always
did?
Have an EastEnders. I mean, Tamika is incredible. I love her. I'm obsessed with her.
So we have this WhatsApp group, the Strictly WhatsApp group. So we all talk to each other because, you know, you kind of have those days where you're a bit like, oh God, I'm not getting it. Or days where you're like, oh yeah, I am getting it. And you kind of want to share that with someone that's not your partner, who's professional and can do everything.
Yeah.
So we have this little WhatsApp group. And Tamika doesn't really like to kind of text messages. She likes to leave a voice memo. And it's all, do me a favor. And I'll be like walking down the street and I'll hear, oh, Tamika's giving us a voice. And I'll just press play and I'll be like, oh. So she likes to give us little messages in the morning and at night. She's quite vocal.
But also she just has one of those laughs you can't laugh at. As soon as she laughs, I'm just cackling on my back.
That sounds like I want Tamika as a ringtone. Can you give me that?
She can charge
for
it.
Or an alarm. That'll get you up in the morning
anyway.
I'll pay for it. Yeah.
I love the fact you've got a WhatsApp group. Because we had Claudia Winkleman in on the podcast last week. And she said of all the years, she said this year you guys have bonded and so quickly.
Even just what we talk about on that WhatsApp group. Because Rob Judge, I keep calling him Rob. They're like, who's Rob? The judge.
Yeah, Judge Rinder.
Judge Rinder, as he's known.
Judge Rinder.
Mr. Rinder.
Mr. Judge. Yeah. He was telling me off for being too nice to everyone. He was like, stop being nice. So I'm going to give you £10 for every time you're mean to someone. So I'm just mean to him now all the time. So we had this thing talking about, we all got our spray tans done, which mine is slowly fading. I just can't even.
No, it's looking pretty good. You're looking good under our strip lighting. The light.
Yeah. The glare of this cupboard, you're still very nice and brown.
Yeah.
But we had this conversation one night, and I went on till like 2 a.m. of just talking about the different colours we were. And I swear, like, Rob had a poo face. He looked like, you know, the emoji of the little poo with the eyes. That was Rob.
Is everyone having them? Because are there some people that kind of, you know, resist the strictly tan?
We can't get Ed Balls to get it done. We think next week. He said he might give it a go.
You'll crack
week.
Him. Keep on at him.
Yeah. Just, you know what? When he's not looking, get in there.
It is addictive. It's very addictive.
If you are sort of like, I'm incredibly fair, so I love a spray tan.
Yeah, I mean, Irish, I'm incredibly fair.
They are really addictive, but they are so undignified. So I think a politician, of all people, doesn't want to be caught sort of like arms up, plastic pants. I mean, mind you.
That is quite the mental picture you've just painted now of Ed Balls.
It's pretty exposing being a strictly contestant, though, isn't it? I mean, it is.
Yeah, but you know what? At this stage, I mean, I've seen everyone practically half naked anyway, because there's this wardrobe area where we all try on things. And I was talking about this briefly before we started talking in here, about that you're sewn into everything. So the guys don't just wear normal shirts. They wear like all-in-one bodysuits. So that shirt they wear, like if it's a frilly shirt or a normal shirt, it actually goes into a bodysuit.
So it's like a leotard,
and I have walked in, it's like a leotard. And I've walked in on Ed in just that.
Wow.
It's not masculine, is it?
It's not.
Or,
I mean,
it's a real test of your masculinity. If you can rock a male leotard.
I think I like it because it's nice and tight and it's quite flattering.
But that's the only thing. I mean, it's obviously, you know, if some really amazingly trained dancer is doing like a salsa or a cha-cha, it's amazingly sexy. But then the boot cut trouser in Lycra, I've never come to terms with that for the male dancer. I don't like it.
Yeah, another basically the idea of like some sort of thing that fastens around the gusset. Yeah. That's not really very sexy on a man either.
That's gonna hurt, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, they're sewn in. It's not even fastened. It's sewn in. Everyone is sewn in. You pee when you can, and then that's you done for.
Your
a few
peeing
hours.
Opportunities are few and far between.
Yeah, and now we're talking about another little topic on the WhatsApp group is, because we're getting so tired of having to go down to wardrobe every time we need to pee to, you know, get cut out of it, someone to follow us into the toilet, and then also see how long you're in there. Do you know, they're like, are you number one, number two? What are you doing in there?
This is the glamour you do not see on TV.
This is detailed information.
I love it.
So now we're talking about, like, do you know, like when you're a kid and you wear a swimsuit and you can kind of do the pull over to the side?
Yeah.
So that's what we're now giving it a go. But then if that goes horribly wrong, you've just ruined the costume, haven't you? So,
and it's live TV, people, you know.
Yeah, and some of the girls have tried that out. You can't do it if you're wearing tights, obviously.
I still do that in a one-piece swimming costume. I do. It's just, I can't be bothered. Work.
Or in a play suit at a festival or something.
I don't want to get cold getting undressed, you know.
But the costumes are incredible. And we talked a bit about this. I have to say, you looked amazing on Friday. But I was worried for you because those tassels, I thought you were either going to garrote yourself or garrote Joe.
I thought I was just going to become attached to him. But it is, you know, when you do put on the clothes, they do help, because I'm Laura, a TV host. I'm not Laura who dresses up and dances to Venus and thinks she's a goddess. And it's quite hard. And I actually had to get a little bit of a pep talk to be like, you're not Laura, you're a goddess. And like try to get into this character. And having the hair and makeup does help with that. Because I think if I was just out there in my gym gear, I probably wouldn't really feel the same.
Yeah. But do you get much chance to do your dress rehearsals?
No. So this is the thing. You get one chance of trying on the dress beforehand, which was an hour before we went live.
Wow.
To kind of quickly go through it. But just one chance and then that's it. So.
But if you think about how many costumes they're making every week, right? It's incredible. It's like a production line.
About a few months ago, we all kind of had our separate little meetings with Vicky and the wardrobe team, who are incredible. And there's so many of them. They always keep popping up and you're like, oh, hello. And they did all these fittings and they made each of us an individual mannequin. Mm. So they kind of have our... That's great.
Oh my God.
They have our own kind of body shape there, so they can just, they don't need us there for fittings, they can kind of work around it.
So there's a whole wardrobe of like creepy
headless
replica mannequins.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, isn't it, actually? Oh, I bet they come alive at night.
I hope so.
Also, imagine being walked into a room going, find your mannequin. That
which
must be really
you?
Like,
you're like, oh my God, it's like looking into a mirror with no head.
I think that's the BBC's next reality format, isn't it? It's to find your mannequin. They've already got that naked thing where you have to identify. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, from there, up there. Yeah.
Oh.
But you're loving it so far. I mean, you did great on Friday. You had the hard job of going first.
Yeah, you were amazing.
I'm not going to lie. That was that was really hard. And I was actually surprised by how emotional the whole thing is. And, you know, I'm kind of used to being in control of situations and to not be in control. And the whole thing is, you know, you are out of your depth and it is a journey. And, you know, I'm working with Giovanni, who's incredible. He's a great choreographer, but I don't know him. And, yeah. I spent the last 2 weeks just with him. And he's even like, no, bend back as far as you can go and I won't drop you. And I'm like, no, you know, I've just met you. I don't know you're not going to drop me. And he's like, no, trust me. And it's building up that trust. And, you know, that's kind of been quite hard for me because I'm an independent lady who can, I can do my own back bends. I don't need no one's help.
But I don't know, to let go of that self-consciousness, because we've talked on this podcast before about, you know, just going to a disco or something and being that first person on the dance floor and sort of like shuffling a bit feels so exposing. And then you've got to go out there and
do that
and be this theatrical goddess. How do you actually make the limbs move at the right time?
I am that person who normally at a wedding is first off. Yeah. Probably helps that I've had, you know, a few glasses of Pinot Grigio or whatever. That, you know, helps it. But I am that person. I love dancing, but I'm what one might call a freestyler. I do my own things.
Choreography is the next level.
Yeah, we don't really do that. I do what I want to do. My body does what it wants to do.
Bit of a mum dancer, bit of a dad dance, more than mum dance actually.
I'm like, oh yeah. I'm really enjoying kind of the discipline of it, because it is a discipline. I feel like I'm back at school, and it's quite nice to kind of this morning go in there first thing in the morning, and if I'm lucky, I might get a lunch break depending on how well I do. Or a coffee break.
But I was going to say, I can understand why you'd find it emotional, because I've been very lucky to be at a live show for Strictly.
It is emotional. And I've cried so many times for no reason.
It's a really big audience. It's for a TV show. It's a big audience. They whip you up into such a sense of, like, you know, hysteria. Everyone's so psyched up for it. And everyone genuinely loves the show.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to get a ticket. It really is. It's so difficult to get them. So I think
there's people I've never met before in my life. Second cousins, third cousins.
So about those Strictly tickets.
I've got the key to release you from the cupboard, but only if
we get a Strictly live ticket.
Did she not tell you that bit?
Yeah. Do you know what? There's more chance the longer I stay in, so you have to vote for me, and then you get a chance of getting tickets.
Vote, everyone. Vote this week.
But
I was going to say, it must be therefore the most incredible reaction when you do dance, because, you know, you get such an incredible reaction from the crowd, I feel like.
Well, because I was first on, I haven't had that experience. I hadn't seen the other dances, and I haven't had anything to compare it with, and the going up to the judges, because when we went through the block through, it's people working there kind of sitting pretending to be Len. It's not actually them.
Yeah.
So I found that quite overwhelming because I didn't have anything to base it on, and going up to Claudia's bit afterwards, and just that just felt, because I've watched it on TV and then you're there and it's just all very
out of body.
It's out of body. I think at one stage during the dance I kind of removed myself from the situation, looked down and thought, which was probably not the best idea mid-dance, and then kind of went back down again. And it's
because you were a big fan of the show as well.
Oh, right? I've watched every single series. So, it's the kind of thing what me and my mom talk about. It's like, rather than talking about ourselves and what's going on in our lives, let's just talk about Strictly. And even when I was doing The Jungle, we'd still talk, because I wouldn't get to see everything for the bit that I was away. She would fill me in on who's doing well, and then when I'd come back, I'd be able to watch the final.
Well, good luck for this week. We're all rooting for you.
Thank you.
And it's the waltz this week.
Yeah, no tassels, so don't worry about it.
I know, I'll be able to
just
watch a bit more.
Big old long ball gown.
There's a long ball gown, and it's, there's a few bends and stuff that I haven't ever tried before, so.
Hey, you've got 3 days.
I've got...
No pressure.
You don't even really. You kind of lose some days with, because you do VTs and there's lots of other bits and pieces you need to do around it and rehearsing at Elstree, and you think you've got a whole week and you don't really.
God. Do you have any sort
Super
of like
impressive.
Good luck charms or anything? You just...
And actually Daisy's the same as me. When we go to her dressing room, I bring loads of stuff from home. I've got candles and crystals and all sorts, and you know, people walking in going, oh, why is your dressing room like this? Because I brought it from home, and I like to kind of nest. I'm a bit of a nester, so that kind of helps me kind of feel a bit comfortable and calm beforehand. I've also got a few bottles of wine in the fridge.
Atta girl.
We'll be round.
Post show.
Oh, obviously. Although it probably would help if it was pre-show.
Then it would actually be more of a wedding.
Then it would be exactly like a wedding. I'd probably be a better dancer.
See, that's the thing. Why don't they do? Oh, this week it's the wedding dance. You know, this week it's the tragic dad.
Yeah.
I mean, then I could go on it and I would nail it.
It would be great. Yeah.
The tragic dad. I could love to see that. No choreography required. Just sink a few pints and get on this.
Or that. You ever been a dance floor and you see a guy that's trying to hit on a girl and he kind of dances up behind her and then she's not bothered and he has to kind of slowly remove himself from the situation. I'm cool. I'm playing it cool. That would be a good dance. Maybe that could be my show dance.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, so you're listening to Glamour, Hey, It's Okay, the podcast where we basically, we chat about the things, Laura Whitmore, our special guest, that are sort of like just like being in a Glamour Features meeting. And quite often we talk about this subject. Hey, is it okay to go Dutch on everything? Should we go Dutch on everything on a date? Now, I last had a date in, I think, 1922 or somewhere around there.
Good year.
So I have no idea. I mean, you know, the men always paid when I went on dates. But now it's such
Times have changed.
It's such a hot potato.
It is. Do you know what? I think from Ireland, growing up in Ireland, I don't know what it was like, like as a teenager in kind of early
20s. Sorry, I'm just watching you.
I'm trying really hard. I'm just laughing because I'm like rubbing my nose against the microphone.
Our producer, Kat Brown, told Laura to get as close as she can to the microphone. And now
she's
like,
virtually eating it.
Now she's swallowed it. And now, just, now you look like a sort of like a koala.
I literally can't see anything of you apart from your hair.
A happy medium.
You see, I've spent all day in studio with someone telling me, like, if you straighten your leg, you straighten your legs. If someone tells me to do something, I'm doing it.
You just take that choreography.
I'm doing it. I can't even breathe.
Sorry, I took you right off topic.
Sorry, going Dutch.
Going Dutch, yeah. You were saying something really important.
I know, something really profound as well.
Growing up as a teenager. Yeah.
Growing up as a teenager. So my mother is quite an independent lady, and she's always, you know, pay for yourself. And if you do let them pay, then, you know, A, they'll expect a second date, or B, they'll expect something else. So I'm like the opposite. I've nearly gone too far for Ireland of paying for everything.
I do think this
which
is
actually is not the best
because you're the rich TV star.
Well, because I'm an independent lady and I pay my own bills and my own diamonds.
But I think it must be quite hard now for guys because they probably don't know how to, you know. I know you want to be chivalrous, but at the same time you don't want to be patronising.
I want them to offer.
Yeah,
I feel like they should offer, and then I will say, okay, how about we go half?
Well, this is where I think equality would do everybody the world of good if it wasn't about whether you're the man or the woman who pays. You just decide, if everybody was just human and had manners and reached for the check.
Yeah, I think everyone...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it depends on how well that date's going. If you think you're going to see them again, then you could pay this time, they could pay the next time. But if you literally feel you're never going to see them again, go Dutch.
But
it's only polite.
I've gone Dutch and seen them again. Right. So I don't want people to think that that's... You know, that means that I'm never going to see them again.
You basically just don't want them to be tight.
But I don't want them to think that I'm tight. Because my... a few male friends of mine, they were going on Tinder and going on quite a lot of dates every week. And it was very expensive because they'd go on a first date, they'd pay. They'd go on about 3 dates a week. And one of my friends was just saying he couldn't afford it. And then a girlfriend of mine was saying she was using Tinder to pay for nights out because she couldn't afford dinner.
Because I have to say, it does shock me because I know quite a lot of girls that say they still expect guys to pay for dates. So, and I'm quite shocked. I think in this day and age, I'm really surprised that there's still that sort of old-fashioned attitude.
That surprises me because I think one of the struggles you have as a woman, if I may say for a minute, is you never get away, for some reason, we never get away from the fact that who's paying is become such a sexual transaction and has all that sexual politics, and you're always worried about... Everybody's worried about doing the wrong thing. Everybody's worried about expected to do things.
Yeah.
Everyone's worried that if I, you know, does he's worried, does that mean that she's thinking that, I'm expecting that
more.
I mean, my God, I'm just confusing myself right now.
No, but I have to say, I'm with you. I would feel much more comfortable if I had no interest in taking that any further. Yeah. I would definitely want to keep it Dutch. I do. I mean, maybe it's a really unhealthy attitude of mine, but
I
think
if you wanted to take it further, then what happens?
But I'd go Dutch still taking further.
I mean,
but then, and then if it was going, like, I have let people pay for dinner, like, and then that's, if they pay for dinner, then I will definitely pay for it the next time. But I think first date, always go Dutch. It's the first date.
To be honest with you, yeah. I think it's lunacy to agree to eat on a first date unless you know you like them. You always go for a drink first off, and then it might progress to dinner.
Yeah,
but then, you never sign up for dinner straight off the back because you're literally stuck there then for like possibly three courses and not liking them and not feeling the chemistry.
So
always do just a casual drink and then you say, oh, are you hungry? And then it can build to a nice casual dinner.
That's quite clever. But then with the drink thing, then the drink thing is something else. It's, I'm okay for them to buy the first drink, but then that means, you know, you have to get a second drink.
Yeah.
And then they'll get a third drink. And I'm like, I don't really want a fourth drink, but I feel like I have to buy a fourth drink to balance it out. And then suddenly you're like 12 drinks in.
And
you're
definitely
smashed.
You need a bag of peanuts, definitely.
You definitely need some sort of lining in your stomach. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's, yeah.
Can I tell you the most horrific story I heard about?
Oh, please do.
It's sort of dating, financially sort of related. So a girl I know was on a date, and at the end it was going really, really well. They got the bill, and then they got into this slightly heated exchange about the guy saying he doesn't believe in tipping. So he literally never, ever tips. And my friend was like, oh, well, you know, I mean, I think when it's called for, if the service is good, I will leave a tip. So she basically produced like a fiver, left it on the tray and went to the loo. And as she was walking up a spiral staircase, she sort of span around and came back to seeing him lifting the fiver and putting it in his pocket. And she
that
literally
cannot be true.
Yeah, and she came back, she confronted him, and he was like, yeah, but I told you I don't believe in tipping. She went, but that's stealing from me. That's not tipping. That's actually stealing my money.
Oh, that would really annoy me.
They're married now.
Happily married, yeah. Lovely relationship.
First baby on the way.
Oh, fabulous. No. But that would put me off, though, if a guy was a bad tipper.
Yeah, I just think. I think you're right.
All of those things: rude to waiters, tipping.
But it does tie back into that tightness. Tight is such a passion killer. If somebody is tight with money, you don't want to borrow them.
Who are tight?
They're not going to give you a nice wedding. They're not going to give you a good Christmas gift.
No.
Ditch.
What if you like them and they just have no money though?
Oh, that's fine.
I've been there. I've been there. I mean, and I end up paying for everything. I'm such a person though. I like it. If it's my birthday, I would have a mixtape above like a Chanel bag. Yeah. I mean, I'll take the bag too.
It doesn't have to be something like.
But I'm more if someone makes an effort, if someone has made me something. Yeah. So I would much prefer that because I think time is worth more. That sounds real like it does though.
You're a beautiful person.
You're beautiful.
I'll have the Chanel bag.
Thank God.
If my husband's listening.
Yeah. But you just hope you can kind of encourage them and one day they can afford you to get you the Chanel bag.
Indeed, yes. No,
buy your own Chanel bag. So we can do that. We're independent ladies. Yeah.
We are. And James is an honorary independent lady, although he hates it when I say that.
I virtually am now. It's like,
it's good, yeah.
I could definitely carry off a male leotard, I think. I'm so confident.
I feel like a Destiny's Child right here now.
poor James. When you're a man who works on a women's magazine, you know more about menstruating than
anything
most
else.
Doctors.
That is, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm virtually a qualified gynecologist.
Actually, I need to talk to you afterwards.
Is it okay to take a compliment? Of course, intellectually we all know we should take a compliment, but I mean,
but then you're full of yourself.
That's
very British, right?
This came from me, this topic, because I am notoriously terrible at taking compliments. Like, my gut reaction if you give me a compliment is to virtually say F off, are you taking the piss?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's something very there's something in our DNA as British people. We're just not programmed to take compliments very well. So I've had to actually start working on at least nodding and saying thank you very much.
Just learn to say thank you.
That's all you need to say is thank you.
But don't you feel, still you feel so squirmy,
well, Joe,
even if you manage
but this
to
is
do
what
that.
Happened and my worst nightmare came true. So I've been doing really well trying to take compliments. Yeah. Not that I'm so really full of myself.
I like your shirt, by the way.
I'm just getting compliments left and right. I can't open my mouth getting a compliment.
See, he's just kind of like glossed over that, like you didn't say it.
No, I should say thank you, Laura, for that lovely compliment. Yeah. No, but so basically I did this a couple of weeks ago and somebody said something nice. I can't remember what it was. And I said, oh, thank you. And then they literally went, oh, you're a bit full of yourself, aren't you?
They didn't.
And it was like a dagger to my heart because that's my worst nightmare come true.
But that's like that scene in Mean Girls, isn't it? Where she says, oh, you're really pretty to Lindsay Lohan, who says, thank you. She says, oh, you think you're really pretty?
Yes.
It literally was that vibe. I was like, wow, whoa.
It is though, but like I don't know, especially, you know, growing up back home, like in a place just outside Dublin, and it's all like, don't get too big for your boots. roots and all that kind of malarkey. And yeah, it's, we have this thing where anytime someone would compliment you about clothes, you have to be like, oh, you know, this old thing, it cost me £5 in Primark. You know, you just, you couldn't say, oh, this is really expensive.
I did that just the other night. Yeah, there is some, we are terrible at saying, oh, yeah, thank you. You don't have to follow
it
up.
I'm all right with if someone likes my shirt. I've got no problem with that because I kind of figure if you're wearing it, you like it as well.
Okay.
So thanks a lot. Yeah, I got it here.
I can't even do that. I'm like, oh, God, stay to me.
If it's about me in any capacity, I can't handle it at all.
So my friend was going out with this model once, this Russian girl. She's beautiful, most beautiful girl I've ever seen. And I think sometimes it's nice to give compliments out, though. I try to do that. I try to tell people, you know, nice things. And she was beautiful. And I said, God, you know, you're one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen. And she, Russian girl, and she just went, I know.
But
true story. And I mean, I was just a bit like, what a bitch.
Yeah.
But was there something of English as a second language about that as well?
No, she's incredibly beautiful girl, and she knew she was.
But also, don't you think
you gotta respect that?
There is nothing more annoying though than faux humility, is there? You know, when you sort of say to like a really good looking actor or an actress or like a model, you know, oh, you know, I was a total nerd at school and no one ever fancied me. You're like, yeah, right, come on.
But they're screwed whatever they do, aren't
That's
they?
True.
If you're saying, you can't do anything right. Yeah. No. And if you say, actually, yeah, I do know that I'm babyish. Maybe we get upset about that as well.
But do you think it's changing? Because I do sometimes now meet younger people, younger British kids, how patronising, like people in their 20s, millennials basically, who I do think have a lot more confidence generally, and they don't apologise for having, you know, looking good or for receiving compliments. And I think attitudes might be changing slightly. And I think you notice that with the younger sort of celebrities coming through, they are a lot more self-assured, and they really believe, they've almost got that American sense of confidence and belief.
I lived in Boston for a bit. I studied over there, and I just found it quite overwhelming by how confident people were. Like, a guy would come up to you on the street and like ask you out, and you just would be like, I mean, in Ireland they'd get you drunk and maybe try and snog you. Do you know, that would be as far as it would go.
They were raised right.
And then maybe after a while he'd become your boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, as long as you went Dutch.
But we went Dutch, so it was fine. Yeah. But yeah, Americans were, you know, were very kind of forward, and guys were very confident about, you know, I'm a good looking guy and why would you not want to go out with me? And, blah, blah, blah. And I just, I actually found that confidence.
Gross.
Gross, yeah, gross. I was like, I much would rather an insecure mess of a man.
Or are we the weirdos? Is it just us Brits and us Celts?
Actually, yeah, it's us.
We're the weird ones. Everyone else is just getting out there, going on about their business.
I'm Australian, and I think it's definitely a real working class thing as well. Yeah. There's just something really shameful in blowing your own trumpet, as they like to say. You know, and it's, I don't
getting
know.
Getting too big for your boots, is you're right. It's that total thing.
Yeah.
You just always have.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, we will take compliments about the podcast, though.
I'm having a great time in here, and I'm loving all the decor. I mean, you've got everything here. Do you know what? If something happened, you know, knock on wood, I don't know what that is, and we got trapped here, we could live off what's in here, because I mean, there's everything. There's a Star Wars light. There's some jam. Is that jam?
I mean, that's your food groups covered right there.
I mean, jam. Once we've gotten through the jam, we have to start eating each other. So.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Suddenly it takes a very dark turn.
Yeah.
How did we move on to this? What are my compliments?
But on a serious note, if you do like what you're hearing, do give us a review on iTunes. We do love to hear what you think. We're actually asking for not compliments.
Say
nice things.
If you want to say something bad, don't say it.
Nothing bad. Just nice things on the podcast reviews, please.
And I think you, Glamour Podcast listeners, are all fabulous.
You are.
Gorgeous.
Looking amazing.
You're looking really hot today, Connor.
Where'd you get that top from?
Amazing taste.
Your eyes look really beautiful today.
Yeah.
God, we're brazen and shameless.
We're so sincere.
What have we become?
Yeah. This one, you might need to just sit on me and tell me to shut up. I've got a lot to say about this. Yeah, I mean, is it okay to tell people off? Is it ever okay? Sometimes it's got to be right.
Yes, there's two sides to this, because I get really angry when you're on the tube, or there's someone struggling with a bag, or there's like, you know, an elderly lady that needs a seat, and there's, you know, some young men who are fine to stand and they don't offer that seat. I do like the death stare. I try not to tell them off. I try to do the death stare, and half the time they don't notice. And I remember another time there was this woman, she was struggling with a pram, and there was guys around, and I carried that pram with her and helped her up the stairs, didn't do it easily, made a song and dance about it, like, oh! And I almost felt
I've
like,
got to save my knees for Strictly.
I know. I saw this guy just completely come walk by us, and I didn't, but I wish I did tell him off.
On that one, I think that this, and I'm not making excuses for men at all on this, but I think that this is one of those areas, James, where you think that maybe people are confused about chivalry, and is chivalry
offensive? Or is it offensive?
I think there's that. I hate to sort of betray my sex. I do think men do have a slight bit of public transport blindness sometimes. Yeah. They pretend
especially
they
in London, because it's so busy, or any big city, but people are in their own
but
world.
But my solution to the whole chivalry debate there is for everyone to just, could they please just be human? Mm.
Yeah, it's not even... Yeah,
help out
just,
your fellow
I think the pregnancy
being.
Thing is a massive...
Is she not?
I mean, you could get into a whole debate about the badge, but I think the baby on board badge is actually great for those guys who are literally not quite sure, because it does avoid
or
all...
Or also an elderly person, you don't offend someone going, oh, just because you're a bit older, maybe you can't.
Wow, well, see, I've got my rule with that one is, if they look like my mum or dad, I offer them a seat.
Okay.
Because that's my rule, because I think I would want someone to offer my mum or dad a seat. Yeah. And my mum and dad would definitely take it. They love a seat. So they would not be offended in the slightest. So I think that's a good rule to live by.
I remember I was on a train, and it sounds very London talking about the tube, but it's all public transport, isn't
buses,
it?
Buses.
But I had sprained my... Well, no, I'd hurt my foot by dropping my iPad on it. Such a 21st century problem. Have you ever done that? It really hurts.
Do you know what I do? Just not to go off the subject, but I keep dropping my phone on my face in the morning. No, when you're like...
Oh, that's because you're selfie queening away.
She's Snapchatting her wake up.
You know when you wake up? Do you know when you wake up in the morning and you check your phone? But I'm still asleep to see what time is it, who's texted, and I every morning I drop it on my face. And I'm surprised I don't have a black eye.
Don't end up on the news dead from an iPhone injury.
I mean, says the woman who dropped an iPad on her foot.
Oh my god, it really hurt. But anyway, so my foot swelled up, it was black, I couldn't wear like a normal shoe, limped to work the next day, was sitting down, and a pregnant woman got on, and I was sitting across from a row of three guys, and she came to me, and I know why she came to me, because she didn't want to approach the guys. And I was like, oh man, my foot's really sore, but she's pregnant. So I got up, and I didn't really want to make a big drama.
Was it obvious that you...
I limped to the pole, and she went, oh my God, I'm sorry, sit down. So like, no, it's fine, it's fine. Those three guys watched the two of us and just sort of like blankly stared at the both of us. And I did think, I didn't say, but I did think, I hope you all fall over in a ditch tonight.
Do you wish you said something?
Kind of, but then I think there's something intimidating about three huge guys as well. Yeah. So I didn't really want to get into a big fracas on.
And then you'll be that crazy tube lady.
And you know, I have been her, and it's not good.
I do think as well. Everyone is so engrossed in their phone or a book, their iPod.
You
they're listening to music.
Yeah.
I do. Generally, people don't really look up very much on public transport, and I've been guilty of that. But the second I see somebody, I'm up and I'm out of that seat. And it does amaze me, those people that can just sort of sit there and...
But
you know.
I wouldn't tell anyone off in that situation. I'd be too scared.
Yeah, it depends the extremity of it all. But then, speaking of you...
Well, no, I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because I had the most incredible tube journey a few weeks ago where there was a guy...
Who has an incredible tube journey.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't incredible from an actual enjoyable...
But it was awful.
I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing. So it was obviously coming into work during rush hour.
Yeah.
There was a guy who'd clearly... It was a Friday morning, who'd clearly not been home from the Thursday night.
Okay.
Was literally sparked out, lying across three tube seats.
Legend.
And in a way, I was like so torn between such incredible admiration for his sheer chutzpah and also just wanted to kick him in the face, because I was so like, I kind of believe
you're taking up
three tube seats.
But you also want to sit there after he's been there.
But obviously, this being a British carriage of British people, no one said anything. They just took pictures on their phone. The ultimate passive aggressive.
Of course, I didn't even post it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is this man?
Terrible, shaming. But that was quite incredible.
But then with the whole telling off, I've been in a situation where I've been told off. Where I remember once going to a cafe to meet a friend, and I hadn't seen her in ages. And you know, I think it was just off Leicester Square. It was hustle and bustle. It was a loud place. And I walked in and I did the girl thing. Ah, my God, I'm in ages. Kiss, 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 hug, hug, hug. And then sat down and we're just kind of, you know, talking as loud as we are now. And then I just heard a big shh. Will you please be quiet? And this is like these two old men, and they were so angry at me, and I felt like a 5-year-old girl that was told off, and I'm a grown woman, and I was mortified.
Old people don't care. They're now so old, they just don't. And I say that because
can't wait to be old.
Well, my dad, I love my dad. My dad literally, I remember once went up to like this guy that literally just chucked a can of lager in the street, and I was really young, little at the time, and he just walked up to this guy who looked quite scary and just said, "Excuse me, I think you dropped something." And the guy was so taken aback, he actually just picked it up and took it to the bin.
See, I wish I had the courage to do that because I just think litterers are just... I have a very dim view of it, I would just say.
Especially when there's like so many bins around. Like, there's a bin just on pretty much every corner.
It's disgusting.
It is. I mean, and don't get me started. Chewing gum, fag butts. Somehow that doesn't count as litter. It really does, people.
I'm trying to think when I've told somebody off.
I just do. I wish I had the guts to tell people off, but I won't. I'll just literally sit there and I'll just get red in the face and go.
I just do the stare. Or yeah. You know what?
If people tell me off, I go from 0 to 60. I retaliate. Really? I'm going to live and let live, but if you want to take me on.
I mean, wouldn't you?
And I look back and think, oh my God, who was that lady who just yelled at everybody? And it was me.
But I do. I do like to think we all have these things that you just can't explain them. They just make you have an irrational, angry feeling.
It depends if you're having a bad day or if you're a stressful day and someone just turns around and says, you know,
but the things we were talking about, the things that immediately get on your nerves and get your back up. And for me, it's those bloody suitcases on wheels. They do my nut in because
why?
Well, because no,
otherwise you have to carry them.
Well, don't get me wrong. Big suitcases on wheels, brilliant invention.
Okay.
What really wind me up are essentially suitcases the size of a small wallet that grown men then drag around on wheels, which essentially
I've fallen over one of those at the airport.
Yes, I've fallen over one before.
Well, if you should not keep it close to them, they just leave it.
No, but I fell over one and like smacked the ground at Heathrow Airport. And this woman said to me, well, you should have watched where you were going. But then another lady, a BA flight attendant, stepped in and yelled at her on my behalf. She
really?
She said, you've got a black tiny suitcase on the black floor. But
that's what I think in those situations. I would quicker tell off for someone else if I saw someone else.
True.
Than, you know, if it was to do with me. If someone was rude to me, I'm not so good at kind of turning around. But if it was to someone else, I'd be quicker at going, actually, that's not fair.
Well, I'm quite quick to, if there is a pregnant woman on a tube or a bus,
else.
I would be the phone and say, oh, excuse me, because I'm stood up, obviously.
But if you're the pregnant woman, you don't want to say it.
No, exactly.
I always think I'm quite forthright, but now I'm thinking about it. I think maybe I need to do a bit more telling off where it's warranted.
I'm just afraid, though, some people, like, who I'm telling off, because there's a lot of crazies on the tube and stuff like that, and you don't know what you're...
Yeah. Also, I just think it's karmic, isn't it? If you tell somebody off, then you're going to be told off. So I think keep it going, pay it forward.
Well, I think we've, you know, sorted out all the world's problems there.
I know, lucky world.
Yeah, got a few features ideas in the mix.
I didn't know I had such power just to fix things.
And Laura, best of luck with your waltz.
Good luck on Friday.
Very excited. Thank you so much to my guest today, James Williams, Associate Editor of Glamour.
Thank you.
And the wonderful Laura Whitmore. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That was Glamour's Hey It's Okay. We'd love you to review and subscribe on iTunes. And if you have a topic you think we should talk about, tweet us at GlamourMagUK using the hashtag Hey It's Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.